The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Good afternoon, happy Sabbath, happy Holy Day, Feast of Pentecost to you all. It's good to be here. And when the Feast of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. What an awesome and exciting day that was. God poured out His Holy Spirit upon those original members of the New Testament Church of God. What an exciting day. Now, with that in mind, please go with me to John chapter 1 and verse 12. John 1, verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on His name. And brethren, please understand and please realize, it was on this day of Pentecost when this verse became a reality. God giving His Holy Spirit to those who had gathered in Jerusalem, were waiting, and they were there for the Feast of Weeks, for the Feast of Pentecost, because Jesus had told them to do so. And we'll see that. It's in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Acts 1 and verse 4. And being assembled, and I like to take the liberty of reading in, and Jesus being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which He says, you have heard of Me. This day was the day that gave those men and women, those original disciples, those original apostles, the original members of the Church of God were gathered, and this power given to them to become the sons of God. This is that day. Also, brethren, I want us all to please realize this same power to become sons of God has also been given to us because of having and being part of Jesus' body, the Church of God, that began on this holy day. Wow. Wow. Brethren, I also want us to understand that the Bible tells us other things. The Bible tells us that Jesus led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That's what we're told in Ephesians 4 and verse 8. Ephesians 4 and verse 8. Whereof He said, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Let me give you the title. I like to give a title to sermons. Using those gifts from God. So here's the thing, brother. Let me ask you. How exciting is this truth to you? I mean, how exciting is this truth to you on an individual basis? What does it mean to you? What God has done. Led captivity captive, poverty becomes the sons of God, other gifts that He has promised, that He says that He gave, and it's all tied into this day. How exciting is that to you? The Bible also tells us that God had blessed us, the Church of God, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We see that in Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, and the us is referring to the Church of God. And yeah, it's okay. You can put your name there. Has blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. Now, Do we believe this? We read it, but do we believe it? And here's the thing. It's a yes or no answer. We can read the words. We believe the words say it. But we do we believe this is true? So, brother, I want us to please realize and make no mistake about it. Clearly, simply stated, God's blessing and power are available to us as part of the Church of God today. So, brethren, with that in mind, what we have looked at to this point, with all of this in mind, I think we need to ask ourselves some questions for us to consider. Has the 21st century Church of God seen the power of God in action in our lives? Do we know what gifts Jesus has given to men? That hence the title, which is what we're really going to focus on. And another question here is, have we witnessed them today? Brother, on that feast day of Pentecost that had fully come, we see where the early Church of God had access to the power of God, and brethren, so do we have access to that same power and to those same gifts that were promised, that were given. In fact, we really look at it, we really realize it, and really think about it, and come to the realization we have available all we need. And I know we can stand back and go, no, I don't have all that I need. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. All that is needed is supplied today to us through Jesus Christ and through the Spirit of God that was poured out on this holy day. Philippians 4 and verse 19. Philippians 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply some of your needs. Is that what it says? My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus, by Christ Jesus, as it says in the King James, or through Christ Jesus. Either one is correct. All that is needed. God says His calling and gifts are without repentance. Now, that means that He gives them and He does not intend to take His gifts away from us. He has no intentions of removing any of these gifts that He has promised to us. He gives them, we receive them. He has no intentions of ever removing any of them from us. Romans 11, verse 29. Romans 11 and verse 29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. You go, yeah, okay, those are nice words, but what is that telling me? Well, I like to read it in various translations. This way I don't have to do all the work. The translations do it for us because they tell us what the words are really meaning more than it in the modern sense. The New American Standard Bible puts it this way, and I like this translation here. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. He's not going to take this back. So we ask, just what has God made available to us in this process of us becoming sons of God? Now, we already stated, God calls things as if they've already happened. And I know I can read verses and you can too, and it says, you are now the sons of God. The full extent of what this is talking about, we're not there. We're not there. But as far as God is concerned, because His gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. He's not going to take it away. It's as if it has happened. So we ask, what are some things that God has invested in us that we would become sons of God? Well, let's take a look at some of them. And just think about it, just as we go through, just think about some of these things. The first one I have is life and every breath. You go, really? How many of us can create our own life? How many of us can make our own bodies produce, as it were? I'm not talking about from a medical point of view. I'm talking about from a human point of view. We cannot make breath. Our bodies are set in motion. We didn't do this. God did this. Acts 17, verse 24 and 25. Acts 17, 24, and I'm going to read these two verses out of the NIV. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. He is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. He doesn't need anything from us. But what we have to understand is he wants us. He wants us to become sons of God, brothers and sisters to Jesus Christ. It's what he wants. Rather, he himself has given life and breath and everything else. So what has God invested in us that we could become the sons of God? Life and breath and everything. And the rest is just filler. Any point that we look at after this? Yes, we're going to have, he's invested all these, but this starts with he gave us life. He gave us breath. He continued that breath. We don't have to consciously be aware. I'm not talking about illnesses and things like that. That's a totally different story. But we don't have to think about breathing, because God set that in motion. It's a gift. And he gave it to us so that we can become sons of God. Now, I don't know if you think about if you lose your breath. Anybody else ever done that? Kind of lost your breath and you almost panic and you're exciting and you go, oh, okay. Do you ever think about that's a gift from God so that I can become a son of God in his kingdom? I have. I've actually thought that, but I know I'm weird. He has invested everything in us to become sons of God. The next point, we have been made in his physical image. What an honor. What an honor. Galatians 1 in verse 26, you know this. And God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and this has happened. This has already become a reality. Unless there's some genetic weaknesses and some other things horribly that's all been inflicted on us because of Satan, the enemy. Every person is born looks like physical image of God. The next point, he is making us in his spiritual image. His spiritual image. DNA image, sons of God. Romans 8, verse 13, and I'm going to read this from the Revised Standard Version. It words it beautifully. Romans 8, 13 through 15. Romans 8, verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. That's what I said. We're going to read verses. It's going to show us that that is as if it has already happened. It's far as God is concerned, because the promises are irrevocable. As far as God is concerned, it's real. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship, where we cry, Abba, Father. Spiritual DNA image of God to become His sons. The next one, He has given us His word in print. He has given us this book. I don't mean this particular one. Some manufacturer made this one and we bought it, you know what I mean? But you know what I'm talking about. He gave us this book, the inspired word of God in print. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. 2 Timothy 3, 14. But continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom that you have learned them. For that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. And the Holy Scriptures here is referring to the Old Testament. And we have all of it. Which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration. All Scripture has been God-breathed. And is profitable to us. It is profitable for doctrine. It is profitable for reproof. It is profitable for correction. It is profitable for instructions in righteousness, so that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. How exciting is this gift to you? That's why we harp on it. You need to study your Bible. You need to know what it says. You need to memorize it. You need to meditate on it day and night. You need to do all this. This is what these verses are telling us. This is why. This is a gift from God. This is Jesus Christ in print. Another way of looking at it. Another point, what He has invested in us. He has given great and precious promises, including our sharing in His divine image. 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these great and precious promises you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This is talking to us. You think God has not given us everything we need? Everything. Everything. And we're going to look like Him. We look like Him physically. Now, every man, woman, and child does. But we're going to look like Him spiritually also. And we're going to have His divine holy nature just like He has. And we see all of these promises through this feast day. The next one, He has made available access to His throne, and He has answers for our prayers. He answers our prayers. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We don't think that we have access that we can throw before the throne of God. We can. We can. This is what He's telling us. 1 John 5:14, NIV translation. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, pay attention to that, we ask anything according to His will. We tend to get hung up and ask things that are not necessarily according to His will. Do you think He's going to answer that? Probably not. That's not what the promise is. But the promise is that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have them because what we have asked of Him. Moving on, another obvious gift includes Jesus' precious sacrifice. We see that through Passover. And remember, brother, it is through this gift, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we have redemption. And we have forgiveness. And we have freedom from the bondage of sin and our fleshly desires. Galatians 5 and verse 1. Galatians 5 verse 1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Verse 13. Again, NIV translation. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. We could spend lots of time on every one of these points, and I understand that. But I want to overpower us with gifts that God has given to us that we see through this day. So we move on. And we can also see that, as we just read in Colossians 5 and verse 13, God has also given us the gift of His calling. Now, why is this special? Because not everyone has been called. Not yet. This is special. John 6, verse 44. John 6, 44. You know these verses. No man can come unto me, Jesus Christ speaking, except or unless the Father which has sent me draw him or calls him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then he repeats it down in verse 65. And he said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given of him of my Father. We have been called. We know the truth. We have knowledge and understanding this holy, precious way of life. We know this day is a holy day because God has called us to it. Not because we're so smart or so beautiful or because we're right-handed or left-handed or whatever. It's because God has called us. The next one is, and we can also see on this holy day, we are reminded that he has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what I opened the sermon with. Acts 2, verse 1 through 4. But I also want us to go now to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. That's a precious gift. We've been called, and we have been given access to God's Holy Spirit that happened on this day, started on this holy day way back when. We have access to that same Spirit. We've already seen that. So we're seeing this again. And of course, there are others. And yet, from these gifts we have been given, that we have looked at this point, that we can become the sons of God, we need to ask ourselves on an individual basis, am I your name? Am I using these gifts that God has provided? Maybe we even start back, are we even aware of that these are gifts? I mean, you know, we remind ourselves and we go, yeah, right. But do we really know this? Or is this just words? And are we really convinced? Are we using these gifts that God has provided to us? And to me, that logically follows with a couple of other questions. And the first one is that we need to ask, can anything block our use of these gifts? Is there anything that can stop us from using them? the next one goes right along with it. Is there anything that can block the available power and authority in our lives that He has given to us? Go with me to Romans 8, verse 38 and 39. Romans 8, 38. The NIV. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Does this describe us? Does this describe us? Nothing can separate us. So, brethren, here on God's holy day, we need to ask, is this where we are in our lives today, individually speaking? I also want us to understand, I made some statements a little bit earlier, kind of alluding to this, because since I wrote the notes, I know it was coming to a little bit later. I had an advantage over you. But we must never take for granted the hatred of God's enemy for God or for us. This is on the heels of asking, is there anything that can separate us? There is a real enemy. We have a holy day coming later that's going to, and you know it, it's called the Day of Atonement. But we know that there is this real enemy, and is there anything that can separate us? And we have to address the enemy that hates God, and he hates us, and he hates everything about God, and he hates everything about us because we love God. I mean, because after all, he is effective with some vulnerable people. And I'm talking about believers. He already has the world. He already has the world. We see that, Romans 12 and verse 9. Romans 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his demons were cast out with him. He's already deceiving the whole world. They're already listening to what he says, and we're to be listening to what God says. And they don't listen to what God says. And it's primarily because of this enemy. Now, please go with me to 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Be sober. That word could be translated wise. It could also mean sober, like we think that it could mean sober, but if you look it up in the Greek and the Hebrew, it's talking about being wise. Be sober, be vigilant, on guard, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. I read this script in a sermon many years ago, and I talked, Pac-Man had just come out. I mean, so I'm dating myself, but, well, this is an old verse. I didn't write it. I mean, you know. But I did read it long ago. But anyway, and so I said, it's like Pac-Man. It comes along, gobbles everything up. And afterwards, one of the minister's teenage daughters came up after me and says, she was kidding. She says, I hate you. And I went, why? And she said, because I love Pac-Man and now I can never play it again because I can see the devil is doing this. And she said, I can never play this game ever again. And I said, you're welcome. And she just started laughing, you know. But she got the point, and that's the point that's why I'm using it, because I want us to get the point. So here's a question that I ask. Do you see this as a warning to us, the Church of God, today? Therefore, we must never underestimate him, because he is wily and he attacks the weak, physically and spiritually. And we can see this by simply studying the illustrations, the examples, the stories of the children of Israel in the wilderness, when they, especially we can see it, when they had the encounters with the Amalekites, especially in how they, the Amalekites, how they would attack the weak and the sickly and the elderly from the rear, which is an attack, a system that is used by Satan the devil. Oh, please do not misunderstand. He is also bold enough that I think that he will bold-face us also at times. And that's why we have to stand, know how to stand. But he's going to go after the weak and the sickly. And I'm talking about physically and spiritual. That's why we say, are we ready? Are we doing these things? This is where this comes in. Deuteronomy 25, verse 17. I'm going to read this from the New American Standard Bible. Deuteronomy 25, verse 17. Remember when Amalek did to you along the way when you came out of Egypt, how he met you along the way and attacked among you all the stragglers at your rear when you were faint and weary. And he did not fear or did not reverence God. There's a lot more to this that I'm not going to go into. But we need to be aware of that there is a real enemy. And so that's why we need to be on guard. That's why we need to be, I heard an evangelist say one time, we need to be all prayed up. We can't be all prayed up, but it's a real interesting way of putting it. In other words, we have to be constantly in prayer. Verse on the back wall, right? Yeah. Okay. That's right. So, therefore, brethren, what is it that we can do to better understand God's gifts? And what can we do better so that we will use them to become stronger and stronger in doing God's will for us and really for all of mankind? Because I hope that we understand, we're not living this way of life. It's just for us. This is for all of mankind. We're setting the example. They don't understand it. They hate us. Jesus said, they hate me, they're going to hate you. He didn't say, they hate me and they might hate you. It's not what he said. Jesus is living a way of life, and he's telling us, if you choose and you follow Jesus and you live this way of life, they're also going to hate you because you're living this way of life. So what is it we can do to better be stronger and stronger in doing God's will for us and for mankind? Well, of course, we all realize there are many different sources of temptation and trials that come against our lives as believers. Because we are believers. Yet, God wants us to grow in the grace and the knowledge and become His sons. We read that earlier in John 1, verse 12. So what are some of these things? Well, for one thing, for us to be able to do so, we must avoid all vestiges of pride. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world. I didn't write it, I just read it. For all that is in the world, and it's bullets underneath it if you would write it out in that way. You know, all these things in the world, things like the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All of those things that are in the world, they are not of the Father, but they are of the world, i.e. of Satan, i.e. the enemy that hates Jesus and hates the fathers and hates you. Another thing is that we need to be always choosing truth over tradition. Matthew 15 and verse 9. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Have we ever had traditions that were in place of truth brought to us, presented to us? I hate to say so, but yes. Yes. And so one of the things that we need to make sure that we're strong for us and for the world, we need to make sure that we choose always, and I was taught way back in grammar class, never use never, and never use always in a sentence. I am using with intent always. Always choose truth over tradition. Always. Another one is that we need to grow in faith and we need to pray through our fears. Explain what I mean. Because we need to turn them over to Jesus. And then we need to be completely filled up with trusting God. We give it over to Jesus and He willingly takes our burdens. Now, we either believe this or we don't. He either does or He doesn't. I believe that He does because He says so. In fact, that's what He's written for us. Matthew 11, verse 29 and 30. Matthew 11, 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I believe that. What about you? Do you believe that? Of course we believe this. Do we always live our lives like we're living it, that we believe this? Another one, this is to help us to be stronger and stronger as we're resisting the devil and all of those negative things that come against us. Another one is we must avoid sin, especially sin that we know is sin. And sin that is unconfessed. Psalm 19 and verse 12. Psalm 19 verse 12 says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse you me from secret faults. Show me. I don't even know what they are. How can I confess my sins if I don't know what they are? I mean, so we got an A and a B here. Obviously, we avoid sins that we know is sin. And we need to avoid sin that is unconfessed. Well, what's an unconfessed sin? Something that we may not even realize is a sin. So we ask God to show it to us. What do you think He's going to do? He's going to show us. He's going to show us. We also need to learn that our feelings cannot be our major guide. Now, we do need to consider our feelings. We must always, though, put doing the right thing first, following truth. Because humanly, we don't always come to the conclusion that we feel something is right and it's always right, do we? No, this is true, but I have this feeling it's this way. Wrong answer. That's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm trying to show. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, beginning in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they might all become damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, in a long explanation, we get there. This is also talking about our feelings and the way we think on things. Truth is first. What we think about it, feel about it, you know, our feelings, that's another. They have to be considered. Another thing is that we must label things truthfully. And we must have a strong love for the truth to avoid being fooled or deceived. In other words, for us to be able to do so, we need to come to the place that we hide the Word of God in our hearts, in our minds, in our inner being, and who and what we are. It's automatic, comes to our mind first and foremost when situations come up. It's what does the Word of God say? Not what do I think, it's what does the Word of God... Because what we want to come to is what we think is what the Word of God says. Psalm 119 in verse 11. 119 verse 11. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's where I always want to be. Now here are some other things to help us become sons of God. These I've numbered. Number one, I'm not saying this is the most important order, just this is the way I have it, okay? Please don't accept. Well, he said it was number three, and so it's number three. No. This is what I have in my notes, and I'm numbering them this way. Properly discerning Jesus' body. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 29. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And this could be talking about the Lord's body, it being the body of Jesus Christ, and it can also be talking about discerning the church of God, one another. Do we even think about others? Number two. Immersing ourselves in the Word of God. Now, I've already talked a little about the Word of God. We're going to talk about it a little bit again. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Joshua 1 and verse 8. This is from the New American Standard Bible. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Meditate on the word of God day and night. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. And listen to what we also read in Proverbs 28 and verse 18. This is from the NIV. Proverbs 28:18. For it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have all of them ready on your lips. Number three, fellowshipping often with others of like minds. Fellowshipping at church is one of those situations, but also just being in social situations with one another also. Apart from the Sabbath and holy days would be a good thing for us to be able to be fellowshipping one with another. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, I don't know how long you've been in the church. I don't know how long you've been attending and how long you've known, quote, the truth. But I guarantee the coming of Jesus Christ, as you see the day approaching, he's talking about the return of Jesus Christ. It is closer now than it was whenever you first started the church. However long or short it was. So it says, we're to do this. Number four, bring all our thoughts into captivity of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Number 5. Work on self-control. Discipline. Which is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We see those listed for us in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. But I want you to go with me to 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. I'm going to read this again from the Revised Standard. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. You go, well, that's one thing I don't really have, the self-control. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Yeah, then you have it. We're either using it or we're not. We're either exercising it or you're not. We have it. If we have the Holy Spirit, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. He doesn't give us a fruit of the Spirit, and there's 9 of them listed, and he gives, you know, you 2 or 3, and he gives you 3 or 4, and he gives you 1 or 2 or whatever. No, if you have God's Holy Spirit, you have the fruits of the Spirit. Right? Amen. Right? Yes. And so we have self-control. We're just not using it. We're telling ourselves something else. We're listening to other voices, other thoughts. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the fruit of the Spirit. Number 6, when we know we are being tempted, has that ever happened to anybody? Or is that just me and Ray? We're the only ones that ever was tempted. We have to resist the devil so he will flee from us. James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he might. It's not what it says. And he will flee from you. Number 7. We need to remember the back wall. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Number 8, we must allow Jesus' mind to fill us. Philippians 2, verse 5, we begin, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. But I'm not going to stop there. Let's keep reading. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. Huh. You think we can learn anything from the way he did? Yeah. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. Wherefore, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name above, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. What he's saying is everything is going to bow down at the name of Jesus. And that every tongue shall confess. This is the verse I wanted to get to. That every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let this mind be in me, which was also in Christ Jesus, so that I will confess that Jesus is my Lord, my Savior. Yeah, we did all of that at baptism, but do we ever say this again? Do we ever think about it again? Number nine, we must be thankful for all things. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. And everything give thanks. It didn't say, in some of the things and the things that went your way, give thanks. And everything give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is what God wants. It's the will of God. That we be thankful for all things. Yes, even trials. What's the purpose of trials? Learn. It's like that resistance thing that we need. I mean, I don't know if you ever work out with weights. If you're, you go to the gym and you work out, and there's this resistance factor. It's sort of like that. We resist. There's this pull coming against us, and but this is how you build muscle. This is how you do things. This is how you build endurance, walking, and all of these things. This is what this is talking about. And all things give thanks, because it's the will of God. Now, brethren, I want us all to please realize these are only some of the practical ways we can use to avoid blocking the power and the gifts of God in our lives and becoming sons of God. There are many, many more. These are just the ones that I've listed here. Now, we want to make sure that we are being sensitive to God's Spirit in our lives. I mean, we got to be aware of it, that it is there. Is it something that is leading and guiding, directing our lives? Yes or no? Are we aware of that? Do we even want to be aware of that? Are we conscious of the fact that I am supposed to be representing God the Father and Jesus Christ that gave us the Holy Spirit, and so we're supposed to be living a particular way of life? We've talked about some of this. Now, I do have one more. Number 10. We need to make sure that we never grieve or we never extinguish or never put to distress or never ignore God's Holy Spirit in our lives. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. Read this out of the New American Standard Bible. Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve. And that word means causing severe sorrow. We need to be aware and sensitive to God's Holy Spirit in our lives. Don't do anything that's going to grieve the Holy Spirit. Cause it, severe sorrow, pain, whatever, in the Holy Spirit. And I realize the Holy Spirit is not a being, so it doesn't have feelings in the sense. God the Father, Jesus Christ, they have feelings. Jesus wept. We know He had feelings. We understand it. That's very plain. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if Jesus wept, the Father weeps. The Holy Spirit is not a being. It's not a person. It's not a being. But do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19, we begin. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. And I'm going to read this one out of a translation I read once in a while, but I've never used it in a sermon. But I like the way it's worded. It's the International Children's Bible. It's just so plain. And I need it that way. Verse 19. Do not stop the work of the Holy Spirit. Do not treat prophecy as if it were not important. But test everything, keeping what is good. and stay away from everything that is evil. Isn't that pretty straightforward and simple? Yeah, it is. Sounds like good advice to me. As we're kind of bringing this to a close, I want you to go with me once again to Acts 2. This time, I want you to turn there and read along with me. Acts 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And now the A part of verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Brethren, I want us to just recognize how awesome and how exciting this really is to see God pouring out His Holy Spirit upon those original members of the New Testament Church of God, and upon us to become sons of God. Therefore, we all need to ask ourselves, are we actively, are we deliberately using these gifts given to us by our loving and awesome God? Happy Feast of Pentecost. And the Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.